Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show today. It's Tuesday, December 7th, 2010, Pearl Harbor Day, and we're going to start right off with a little bit of an announcement. You can probably hear it going on in the background up to warp drive. WhatReallyHappened.com is running on a brand new server today, and it's got multiple processors and multiple this and multiple that and super hydrostatic flammer stand on overdrive, and we're having a lot of fun. It's handling the load from the increased readership with grace and aplomb, and even the hackers so far have not been able to annoy it, even though they're certainly out there trying. Now, as I said before, this is Pearl Harbor Day. We're going to spend a little time talking about that, because once you come to understand that our government does lie to us about important things like Saddam's nuclear bombs or human-caused global warming, the moral obligation is to go back and start looking at everything in history we've ever been taught happened a certain way and justified a certain reaction, with the understanding that fraud and deception by government against the people is nothing new. If you go visit ancient Egypt and you look at the temples at Abydos and Karnak, you'll see all these carvings by the pharaoh Ramses II, Ramses the Great by his own admission, depicting his victory over the Hittites at Kadesh. And for a lot of time, people thought the Egyptians had beat the Hittites at Kadesh until they found the peace treaty, the non-aggression treaty, and they found out Ramses walked into a trap, got suckered by a couple of Hittite double agents, and almost lost his army. But Ramses knew his own people back in Egypt were not going to be able to go up and double-check what happened. So he basically turned his temple walls into the Egyptian equivalent of CNN, and he put up this report about his tremendous victory over the Hittites, and that's what the Egyptians believed for thousands and thousands of years. But Ramses was BSing his own people, and it's been going on ever since. Hitler did the same thing with his own people at Gliwice to trick them into war against Poland. And we're coming to understand that our own government uses lies and trickeries to start a war. This makes common sense. If you go back to The Art of War by Sun Tzu, and it says right in there, all war is based on deception. What he means by that is when one ruler wishes to initiate a war of conquest against somebody else, they have to lie their own people into it. Because if you're just an ordinary person, you're working on your little plot of land, you're working in the garden and raising the livestock to feed your own family and take care of your wife and kids, or your husband and kids, as the case may be, you don't want to go marching off to invade another country. It's a lot of walking. It's very dangerous, dirty, ill-paying work, and there's a real chance you could get, you know, killed in the process. And so when a world leader wants to start a war, they have to trick their own people into it. And as we study more and more the history of Pearl Harbor, looking back from a time of greater public wisdom when we know we were lied to about Saddam's nuclear bombs, we come to understand that maybe the story of Pearl Harbor is not what we were taught in the school. We're going to take a little break coming up here on the for a commercial break here. Before we leave, of course, our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Greetings to our audience from WWCR shortwave radio all across the northern hemisphere and out into the ocean and ships and sea and everything like that. So do join us on the air here. But when we come back, we're going to be taking a closer look at Pearl Harbor. And you may hear aircraft in the background because my office overlooks Pearl Harbor. I can look out this window to the left here and see the Arizona, and they're flying aircraft and everything all over because they're having a big old celebration down there. It's the 69th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. And everybody's like all a Twitter about it, if you will, and the commemorations are going on there. But did it really happen the way you were taught in school, or was there a far darker purpose behind it? And did Franklin Roosevelt, in fact, intentionally trick the United States into war against the Axis powers? So we're going to take a break here. We should be hearing music any second. And there it is, and we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-340-4634.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-340-4634. That's 1-800-340-4634.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show today. We're talking about Pearl Harbor. Today is the 69th anniversary of the so-called surprise Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. And I'd like to refer you all to a book that came out called Day of Deceit. And it came out basically the same year as the most recent Pearl Harbor movie. They had this huge premiere down in the harbor where they brought in an aircraft carrier and they set up bleachers and stands and a projector and a screen on the deck of the aircraft carrier for the world premiere of the movie. And the screen was movable. So after the movie, the screen folded up and everybody could see the Arizona and the Missouri sitting down there and just really hammer hard the propaganda. There's a flight of aircraft going overhead right now. It's part of the commemoration. But we're beginning to understand as we look back. As I said, there's this book, Day of Deceit, by U.S. Navy Commander Robert B. Stinnett. And it is based on documents that were declassified in 1994 from U.S. Navy, NSA, a lot of documents that really contradict the official story that was being given out in 1941 and 1942 and in movies since then. And Commander Stinnett's book is very fair and unbiased because he's not trying to grind an axe. Commander Stinnett agrees with Roosevelt lying the United States into war with the Axis powers. He says, yeah, we had to go after to Hitler, and anything that was done to serve that purpose was a good thing. So Commander Stinnett is examining the deception of Pearl Harbor from the point of view of somebody who thinks it was actually a pretty good idea to do. And so actually, from his point of view, it's a very well-researched, balanced, and fair treatment of the story. I don't agree. I don't think a government has a right to lie to their people under any circumstances whatsoever. Certainly not to start wars of conquest. Certainly not to trick them out of obedience and money. Certainly not to subvert the Constitution of the United States of America. That is the whole purpose for our being here. It's the whole purpose for our website having been around for 16, 17 years. I've actually forgotten how long we've been doing this thing. 1994. Spring of 1994 is when we started. So, it's a good book to go out there and take a look at. Now, at my website, whatreallyhappened.com, we've put up some links related to Pearl Harbor, and I invite you all to come in and take a look at it. One of them is Pearl Harbor, Mother of All Conspiracies, and at the very, very top of that page is a photograph of one of the local Hawaii newspapers' front page a week before the attack on Pearl Harbor. And it says right on the top, the Japanese may be attacking soon. May attack this weekend, I believe it says. So the idea that this was a complete surprise is nonsense. We were getting warnings here in Hawaii a week before it happened. Now, living here in Hawaii gives me the opportunity to go out and study the history that took place here. And being an island and being very small, the history all happened real close to you. You can go out and you can look at it, you can touch it, you can examine it for yourself. Put your hands on it, which is kind of cool if you're a history nut. Now, I shot this little video. It's on our YouTube. It's on our What Really Happened YouTube page, and it's also linked to the front of What Really Happened right now. It's called The Bones of Station H. Over on the other side of the island, on Kaneohe Bay, there's a little state park called Haia State Park. In 1941, it was this little Chinese market. And behind the Chinese market, hidden from the road, hidden from view, was a U.S. government shortwave interception radio station. And on November 25th, that station intercepted Admiral Yamamoto's radio orders to the Japanese fleet to sail to Hawaiian waters and attack. Now, part of the documents that were declassified in 1994 confirms that U.S. cryptographers knew how to break and read those codes. And so there is no way that this message that was intercepted by Station H and then decoded at Station Hypo at Pearl Harbor itself, there's no way this message was missed. And the message was forwarded on to Washington, D.C., but it was not given to the Hawaii commanders, Admiral Kimmel and General Short. They were not told that the Japanese fleet was coming. Now, it is one of the big lies of history that the Japanese fleet was maintaining radio silence as they came across. They didn't. When the orders were coming from Japan to the big carrier ships, they had to rebroadcast them to the smaller fleet ships because the smaller fleet ships were not able to pick up the signals coming from Japan. So the Japanese fleet was radiating radio waves all across their travel across the North Pacific. We're being picked up in places like Alaska, down in Australia. British intercept stations picked up the messages. And most importantly, the SS Lurline, the passenger ship then being operated by the Matson Steamship Company, coming across from San Francisco, was picking up the Japanese radio messages. Their radio operator was able to actually plot the location of the Japanese fleet using his own ship's baseline course to do a triangulation. And when the lure line pulled into Honolulu Harbor, December 3rd, 1941, the radio log was turned over to the Office of Naval Intelligence. There is still a record of them receiving the radio log, but the log itself has completely vanished. So anyway, getting back out to this Haia State Park, over by on Kaneohe Bay. If you go out there, you can still see the foundations of those radio towers. Nobody there at the park knows what they are or what they represent historically, but they are still there. And that was, you know, the U.S. government knew. Anyway, get the book, Day of Deception, Day of Deceit, rather, And please look at the links regarding Pearl Harbor at whatreallyhappened.com. Most interesting is the one on the memo by Arthur H. McCollum. Now, on October 7th, 1940, Lieutenant Commander Arthur H. McCollum of the Office of Naval Intelligence prepared this memo. It's an 8-step plan for provoking Japan into an attack. And Roosevelt implemented all 8 of the suggestions, and on the 8th suggestion, Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. The next day, Roosevelt goes up to the Congress and says his day of infamy speech and gets the United States into war against Japan, which automatically meant we were at war with Nazi Germany. Most of the resources went to Europe because the real goal was war against Hitler so that Roosevelt could help out his socialist buddy, Stalin. And then once Hitler was defeated, the resources were put into the war in the Pacific to finish it up there. But it is worth studying to understand that just as there were no torpedoes chasing the USS Maddox in the Gulf of Tonkin, just as there was no Spanish mine in Havana Harbor that destroyed the USS Maine, the real events of Pearl Harbor have been hidden from you so that Pearl Harbor could be used as an excuse to goad you into a war against the designated enemy. And that's an important lesson to learn right now, because even though the U.S. government has been exposed and embarrassed for lying to us all about Saddam's nuclear bombs, they're still trying to come up with some kind of a lie to start a war with Iran, or to start a war with North Korea, or to start a war with China. Because the U.S. government's historical record is the use of war to get out of economic problems. The United States government got out of the crash of 1907 by getting into World War I. They got out of the crash of 1929 by getting into World War II. Here we are in the crash of 2007, and look how hard our government is trying to start wars with anybody. Somebody, come, please, start a war. We need an enemy. Reminds me of that wonderful film Canadian Bacon by Michael Moore, where Alan Alda is playing the President of the United States, and they're saying, oh, great, what do we do for an army now? And they're going through the slides of all the horrible terrorists and everything that they could use to start a war, and they're all dead, and they're saying, they wind up declaring war on Canada. We're going to go to the phones. Nick in Indiana. Aloha, Nick. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Nick in Arizona, but no biggie.
Okay. I'll have to flog the hamster.
Yes. Loyal listener of your show, and I love it, and I'm always... every time you go off on the banks and attack the real problem and the real parasites of this world. But I would love to hear you use this wonderful platform to go after them and tax them for the depression. They're coming out with all the austerity. Oh, we're going to raise your retirement. We're going to cut the benefits you paid for. But instead of doing that, we should tax them on their financial turnover. They pay no tax. Corporate welfare is the biggest welfare in the country. Google paid, what, 2-3% tax? The bankers in Wall Street pay no tax. They caused the depression, and they should pay for it. And I just want to put that out to people and put that in their consciousness that we should not have to pay for their malfeasance and their greed and recklessness. They should have to pay for the depression and Tobin tax. 1%
okay.
sales tax, not a Tobin tax in a sense of a sales tax on Wall Street turnover. That's what I want to see.
Okay, I am absolutely in agreement with you that the bankers and the banking system itself intrinsically have created the financial hardship that we are in. We are in our third private central bank issuing the public currency at interest in our nation's history. All three have brought the nation to the edge of ruin. I'm in agreement with you on that. I'm opposed to trying to solve the problem with more taxation. I think across the board, we are all taxed way too much. Taxation was originally supposed to be about raising the revenue for the government to take care of the people. And over time, it has mutated into this instrument of enforcing domestic policy, where we're going to tax you if you do something that we don't like, and we'll give you a tax credit if you do something that we do like. And it became the instrument of dictatorial control over the population without actually having laws saying you can't do this and you should do that. And my feeling right now is we're all taxed way too much. I don't want to get into an argument about who's taxed more or less. I think all taxes should be cut at least 50% across the board. We got to take a break here. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Nick in Arizona, and I know I'm already getting a lot of flack from people saying, oh, well, you know, all those bankers, they got rich. We've got to tax them and take it back. I mean, they're going to fight tooth and nail. And the bottom line here is all the money, the trillions of dollars they've taken out of the economy, it's not like it's in their pocket. They spend it on yachts and Bugattis and Rolexes and all the rest of that stuff. It's a very inefficient form of a wealth conversion. If you took it all back and you cashed it all in, you know, out at auction or something, like, you wouldn't really recover all of that money anyway. And at this point, you know, I think really the problem is we have a government that sold us out to the bankers back in 1913, and any solution to any problem that says we're going to raise taxes simply hands more money to the government to play with. And we cannot trust this government to spend the money wisely. They're blowing billions and trillions on wars all over the place against people who've done us no wrong. They're showering tons of money, trillions of dollars, all over Wall Street to help them buy back all these bad, fraudulent mortgage-backed securities so they don't have to go to jail. And, of course, the bankers are writing themselves huge, record-setting bonuses to reward themselves for how cleverly they escaped prison. And, of course, all the weapons and stuff that we continue to buy for Israel, even though it's illegal under U.S. law, for the U.S. government to be giving any of your money to countries with nuclear weapons who will not sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. So proposing a higher tax as a solution to anything is not going to work, because that just puts more money and more power into the hands of the government, and the government has already shown their allegiance is to the banking industry. not to the people. Had this government moved the money the other direction, that is, instead of throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars of future tax burden onto you, the American citizen, in order to throw all kinds of money all over Wall Street, if they'd moved it the other direction, if they'd said, let's give every single American $300,000, nobody would have defaulted on their mortgages. There wouldn't be a mortgage crisis. There wouldn't be a real estate crisis. Everybody would have kept up the payments on their credit cards. There wouldn't be a credit crisis. We'd all be buying new American-made cars. We wouldn't have had to bail out the automobile manufacturers. We'd be down at the malls right now loading up on all kinds of Christmas goodies and everything. There wouldn't be a retail crisis. The government did absolutely the wrong thing to preserve and protect the economy for the American people. What they did helped the bankers, and it was intentional and by design. And I'm getting a ton of emails from people saying it's ridiculous to suggest the government wanted us to lose all of our homes in order that the banks could foreclose and put them on the balance sheet so they wouldn't go insolvent from having to buy back all the bad paper from the foreign banks who bought those mortgage-backed securities. Okay, well then you tell me why Barack Obama, who campaigned on hope and change and came into office promising he was going to change the direction of the nation, why did he not change the tax incentives that encouraged the offshoring of high-paying American jobs? According to the Hackett Group that has been studying the flow of jobs in and out of the United States of America since Barack Obama got that center seat at the White House, not only has the offshoring of American jobs not decreased, it's increased. The problem has gotten worse. This is a matter of enforced policy. And obviously, the people at the White House are smart enough to understand that the more they offshore jobs, the more homes will be foreclosed and taken by the banks. It must be intentional. It's a wealth confiscation. It's exactly what Franklin Roosevelt did back in 1933 when he said, y'all got to turn in your gold and we'll give you lots of this pretty printed piece of paper to make up for it. Only they couldn't, you know, the government can't say, we need to take your homes away from you and give them to the banks because the banks need them more than you did. So they come up with this plan. They destroy the job market. They give tax incentives to offshore all the American jobs to other countries, and Americans can't pay their mortgage anymore. And the banks are able to come in and grab the houses and put them on their balance sheets to stay solvent, even as they're paying out billions and billions of dollars to buy back those fraudulent mortgage-backed securities and those derivatives, the credit swaps, which are the real source of the loss and misery. So if you've got a better theory for why the U.S. government is continuing to encourage the loss of American jobs to other countries, knowing that it means Americans will continue to lose their homes. I mean, 60 million homes have been foreclosed in this country since this crisis began. You tell me, if it's not intentional, what is it supposed to accomplish? To continue to drive the American people into poverty to shower wealth all over the bankers? It doesn't make sense. You cannot pick up an economy by the top any more than you can move a building by picking it up by the roof. If you pick it up by the roof, the whole building will crumble. You must pick it up and transport it from the foundation. And the same is true of an economy. If you're going to improve an economy, you have to start by improving the foundation. And the foundation is the working class people of the nation. Because wealth must precede capital. All the gaming and playing and leverage buyout and derivatives and all these other fancy little things they like to play at Wall Street amounts to basically moving the money around in circles as fast as you can and hoping that it'll grow all by itself. And it isn't. If anything, it's shrinking because every time Bernanke turns on that printing press, the value of your dollar disappears. Nick, anything to add before we go to a next commercial break?
Well, just real quick, Mike, I'm in agreement with everything you said. I'm not proposing a regressive tax. It's just, you know, when us people down here in the common world go to the store, we're paying 8, 9, 10% city sales tax on shoes, and Wall Street is paying zip on financial turnover, and Goldman Sachs is doing their flash trading and whatnot. It seems kind of obvious.
Okay, I agree. Got to stop you for the break. Got to stop you for the break. Hang on. I will bring you back next segment.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking with Nick in Arizona. We're talking about taxes. And, Nick, I absolutely understand that ordinary working and middle-class people are being taxed into abject poverty. We see it all the way around. You know, taxes are on all of our products. Taxes, sales taxes on top of taxes, gas taxes, tire taxes. There is no question that the vast majority of the financial burden of running this country falls on the lower, the working and middle-class people. And there is no question that people with money are going to bribe and politicize the government to reduce the tax burden on them because of the spurious claim that the more money they have, the more jobs they'll create, which is nonsense. The jobs they're creating are all in other countries. But rather than throw more taxes on the wealthy and thereby hand more authority and power and control to the government, which is corrupt beyond belief, I think the other solution is to say that everybody should be taxed the same, which is that you and I should be paying the same low taxes that the Wall Street bankers are in terms of total percentage. And in the end, I honestly think that we are not going to see this nation survive unless all taxes are cut by 50% across the board. And we could afford it if we just give up this psychotic need to go around the world killing brown people, because war and the machinery of death are taking up 50% of the entire federal budget. So if we stop killing Israel's enemies, if we stop spending money on all these bloated defense projects that create weapon systems which turn out to be obsolete when they roll right off the assembly line, like the F-35 and that new stealth ship that they can't get to do anything for $1.5 billion a pop. If we give up all of that, we could cut taxes by half and not cut any of the existing government services to the civil population. And with a tax cut like that, our economy would light up like a holiday tree or a Christmas tree or politically correct a Hanukkah bush. But if we were allowed to have more of our own money to put back into our businesses, to improve our homes, to improve our own standard of living, to pay for better education, our country would just absolutely turn around. Unfortunately, our government is in the grip, our banks are in the grip of money addicts. We are dealing with people who are addicted to money. They need that next zero behind their name. And like any other addict, they are absolutely blind to the damage and destruction they cause to their neighborhoods and to their society as a whole. Now, we rightly condemn drug addicts for the destructive behavior they engage in, whether it's heroin or meth or crystal or whatever the stuff it is that they're shooting, snorting, or rubbing into their belly button. But for some reason, our society seems to view money addiction as kind of okay and cool, not unlike the way they viewed cocaine addiction in the 1980s as kind of in and cool and hip. But there is no question, as we look around at our retail vacancies and the homeless people freezing to death in the streets of America right now, that money addiction has brought down what was once the greatest nation on earth. Nick is still there.
Sir, and I just want to leave you in the audience with this last thought as they watch the news or read a paper or catch their news from wherever, as they keep hearing about austerity and this value-added tax they want to bring in and cut this program and whatnot. Just think about the Wall Street firms and banks not paying any financial transaction tax. They pay absolutely nothing. Google paid 3%. The list goes on and on. And the last thing is, remember, the power to tax is the power to destroy. If they're not going to get rid of these derivatives legislatively, let's tax them out of existence and have them put money back into the system, which they so were happy to rape from. Thank you very much for your time, Mike. I love the show, and I hope you have a great rest of the show and a great day.
All right, well, thank you very much for the phone call. And again, anything that involves an action by the government is doomed to fail, because the government is in the pocket of the bankers. We talk about how AIPAC, a foreign policy lobby, is the most powerful and influential in Washington, D.C., and it is in terms of foreign policy. But in terms of domestic policy, even AIPAC cannot hold a candle to the financial lobby in this country, whether it's the Federal Reserve, which now is acting like it's part of the government, even though technically it is not. The Federal Reserve is a private bank. Most of its owners are not even American citizens. They're no more federal than Federal Express, and yet they're arrogating to themselves the trappings of being an official government body, and even to the point of literally blackmailing the U.S. government in terms of policy. Remember when Ron Paul was trying to get an audit of the Federal Reserve and trying to find out where all those trillions of dollars went that we finally found out about last week, and the Federal Reserve was saying, no, if you audit us, we will crash the economy. And the government backed down. And this was exactly the danger of having a private central bank that men like Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson and so many others warned and said, we cannot allow this to happen. And yet in 1913, our Congress, you know, as corruptible as anybody, sold us into the slavery of a private central bank. And it's almost an insult to all of those people who died in the American Revolution to free us from private central banking. Because what really drove the United States of America, the colonies, to the revolution, to free itself from Britain, wasn't the tea tax, wasn't the Stamp Act, it was the Currency Act. Now, Currency Act is not taught that much in the public school system, because the Federal Reserve doesn't want you to understand that we are now living under the exact same sort of banking system that the revolution was fought to free us from. They don't want you to understand that. As far as affecting change, I think we need to look to Europe. Trying to get our government to change the laws to benefit the people is a lost cause. The government has clearly demonstrated that in the choice between taking care of the American people and taking care of the banks, they're siding with the banks. They're literally created an economy to make it easier for the banks to foreclose on your home so they can put that property on their balance sheet and cover the losses from having to buy back all those fraudulent mortgage-backed securities that everybody knows about. And I'm in agreement with Ron Paul. If WikiLeaks were genuine, if they were really blowing the whistle on government wrongdoing, they would have come out with all of this stuff about the fraudulent mortgage-backed securities instead of all this stuff about, Iran is bad and Israel's good and we need to start another war. When WikiLeaks comes out and actually documents how all these major Wall Street corporations were neck deep in the financial crime of the century, of our nation's history, then I'll take Julian Assange seriously. Until then, he's just another manufactured puppet to try and trick people into accepting lies from the internet that they would actually reject from the TV networks. We'll be getting into Julian Assange a little bit later on here. But turning back to Europe, they're having this protest right now in France, started by Eric Cantona, former soccer player, now is a political activist, basically saying, take your money out of the banks today. And we're not exactly getting word about how effective it's being, other than that the French banking industry was trying to position cash reserves ahead of time in case it really did take off. We know some people in England were going along in sympathy. And strangely enough, up in Ireland, on the very day of this French bank out protest, all of a sudden the Bank of Ireland is having all these computer problems, don't you know? And the ATMs are not allowed to give out more than a few of the money. There are limits on the cash there, and it's all because of a computer failure. Nonsense. Talk about a dose of the blarney. If you're having technical issues on your ATM machines, it means the machines aren't working. It doesn't mean they have to limit the money coming out of the machine. This technical glitch is a cover story, because apparently the Bank of Ireland is very stressed and they're very concerned about a massive withdrawal of money. Now, interestingly enough, over in France, the French government was saying, well, you know, if you French people can't take your money out of the bank, because if you do it, it'll throw the financial system into chaos. Well, there's two things wrong with that. First of all, the financial system is in chaos, because when you have a private central bank issuing the public currency at interest, it is a pyramid, and it is doomed ultimately to collapse, which is what it's doing right now. And the bankers are trying to convince the people that they should pay for the collapse. The bankers want you to believe that you should cover the costs of their system that they designed, that was designed to ultimately fail, and stick you with the cost. That's what all this austerity talk is about, starving the people to feed the bankers, to make the books balance out. All hail the spreadsheet. All hail the balance sheet. We must worship the balance sheet. Okay? So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to sell you this idea, starve the people to feed the bankers, because the bankers have all this imaginary interest that is owed to them from day one. The trap of a private central bank, the Federal Reserve, the Euro, whatever, the trap of a private central bank, when they issue that first printed note, more money is owed to the central bank than actually exists. So you can never pay it off. You can never get out of that debt trap. That is the trap that the Congress and Woodrow Wilson sold us all into in 1913. You never had a chance to vote on it. I didn't. We never had a chance to say we agree to this financial system. Our schools teach us this is the only way it can be. And it isn't. This is not the financial system that the United States was started with. And most people don't understand there are alternative ways of running a national economy that work better for the people. But the private bankers don't want you to know that. That's why the state-run public schools don't really teach a lot about the Currency Act. They don't teach a lot about how, when this country was started, the government created its own currency and put it into circulation, spent it into circulation, let it circulate through the economy, interest-free, and was taxed back to balance the books at the end. The system we have now is the government borrows that public currency from the bank at interest, then spends it into circulation, and then taxes it back and has to pay back to the bank the initial funding plus the interest. Your taxes go up to pay interest to a private bank. And there is no difference otherwise between the system that has that private central bank and the system that doesn't have that private central bank. The United States fought a revolution to be free of the Bank of England. After Britain finished its war with France, the bankers got England to re-attack the United States to get rid of that pernicious, alien, revolutionary economic system that did not make obeisance to the private bankers. That was the War of 1812. We're going to come in and we're going to force you to go back to using the Bank of England. All wars are ultimately economic. It's all about money. We're going to kill people until we get all the money that we want. Banks love wars. They love wars. And they don't even care which side wins, because both sides go into debt. There was a movie a while back, and I've played this for my Republic Broadcasting audience before. This is the first time I'm going to play it for the WWCR shortwave audience. But there was this movie called The International. And it's basically a mystery surrounding a bank that has been caught trafficking in weapons. And everybody's saying, why? Why are you doing this? And the telling quote, and the reason this movie got terrible reviews in the corporate media, who are all trying to make their mortgages too.
The IBBC is a bank. Their objective isn't to control the conflict. It's to control the debt that the conflict produces. You see, the real value of a conflict, the true value, is in the debt that it creates. You control the debt, you control everything. You find this upsetting, yes? But this is the very essence of the banking industry. To make us all, whether we be nations or individuals, slaves to debt.
The essence of the banking industry is to make us all, whether we be nations or individuals, slaves to debt. The American Revolution was the American people breaking free of that slavery. The War of 1812 was an attempt to re-enslave us. When the war didn't work, bribery and corruption imposed the Bank of the United States on the American people. And when its charter expired, President Andrew Jackson vetoed the renewal of the charter and had an assassination attempt on his life as a result. Then there was Andrew Jackson did the second Bank of the United States. But we've had three of these private central banks issuing the public currency. All three show the same design objective: to extract the real wealth from the American people and put it in the pockets of the bankers. And if you're out of money, if you're out of gold, if you're out of anything, then they start to take the houses. And now they're coming after the retirement funds all across Europe. Oh, we'll solve the debt crisis. Just take all the money the people had paid into the government for their pensions and their retirement and give that to the banks to settle the debt. But the debt can never be settled with these private central banks. It's a trap. And the only reason it's imposed on the rest of the world and on the United States and on Europe is because governments are inherently corruptible. The bankers come in with enough cash, and the politicians will sell you out into slavery. That's what happened in the United States in 1913. You are all slaves. We are not the land of the free. Free people have a right to say no. There is no freedom without the freedom to say no. But we do not have the right to say no to having our public currency issued by a private bank at interest. That is the trap. And that is the reason our country is in such serious, serious trouble. And our government will not change the economic course of the nation, because the bankers love it just the way they are. They're money addicts. They got to have more money. I got to have more. Paul Allen needs another yacht. Bernie Madoff with the loot. Good example. This guy had more money than you or I could ever comfortably spend in a lifetime. But it wasn't enough. Co-founder of NASDAQ, and he still turned around. He just had that need for more money. He had to screw his own investors out of $65 billion in a Ponzi scheme. All that mattered was the money. That's money addictive behavior. When a guy like Bernie Madoff, with the reputation that he's got and all the money that he's got, and he's still so hungry for more money that he cheats his own investors in a Ponzi scheme. That's what I mean by money addiction. It is time for an intervention. It is time for the American people to intervene with the money addicts for their own good, to save them from their addiction and the destruction it's causing to our society. Let's see. We're coming up on a break. When we come back from the break, it'll be our last break for the WWCR audience. We'll be talking with Lex in Ohio and with a little bit more information about taxes and Citigroup. But behind all of this, you know, looking back at Europe, I mean, the Europeans are putting the Americans to shame. Iceland completely threw out their old government for financial mismanagement. They're forming a new constitution and a new government right now. Athens, they're having huge riots. British students are marching over the gutting of their educational resources. France, bank out holiday. Everywhere across Europe, people are standing up and saying, look, we didn't create this mess. We never agreed to this private central bank model. And we're not going to pay the costs of it. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're going to go to Lex in Ohio. Aloha, Lex. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to tell you, Mike, to expect a $40 check in the mail, all of us, all your listeners that live in America, because I just found out online that U.S. taxpayers are going to make nearly $12 billion off the Citigroup bailout. What do you think?
Well, I think that's absolutely wonderful. And, you know, while after all these promises that all this bailout money was actually going to be paid back and make a profit, you're absolutely right. We should get checks for all the profit from all of this public money that was used to bolster up these companies. Of course, you and I both know that these companies that got these bailouts didn't really turn a profit. In the case of General Motors, they have not actually paid back all of their loans. They simply got new loans to pay the old loans with. We know that less than half of the original TARP money, that $800 billion, seems small in comparison with what the Federal Reserve has been handing out, but less than half of that has been paid back. We know that the trillions and trillions of dollars the Federal Reserve handed out is never going to come back because that money was being used to buy back all these fraudulent mortgage-backed securities that were sold all across the world, along with the credit swaps that went with them. So that's being brought back to keep people out of jail. There's no way you can make money on a fraudulent investment, especially now that it's known that they're fraudulent. So the reality is that we're not going to get that $40 check. Even if the money was being made, the government would say, oh, well, we need it to do X, Y, Z and pay for carbon tax and for global warming and alien spaceship defenses and whatever other excuse they can come up with to grab the money and keep it for themselves. And so it's a nice thought, especially at Christmas time. But it's rather interesting you're saying $40 per American, because I'm watching the aftermath of President Obama's press conference on the new tax compromise they put through. And they're putting up it's going to be a $40 billion tax reduction for Americans, which sounds like a really big number until you remember there are 300 million Americans. And by the time you get done dividing that $40 billion tax cut for ordinary Americans by 300 million Americans, you're going to understand it's a token amount. It's a token effort at best. And it's all attempting to look like they want to take care of the American people, but they don't. And at this stage of the game, anything less than an across-the-board 50% tax cut on all federal taxes is just posturing and trying to look good for the media and trying to plan how they're going to save Obama and the Democratic Party come 2012.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And I think it's interesting when we talk about tax cuts that there's this false reality about, you know, a guy like me who, you know, barely gets by, I'm supposed to be in the middle class, but then this guy who makes $250,000 a year, I'm supposed to think he's rich. And that's one of the biggest illusions we have, is to think that the richest guy in your little town is really rich. People don't comprehend the difference between being a millionaire and a billionaire, or between being a billionaire and a multi-billionaire, and how you can eat millionaires for lunch when you're a multi-billionaire. To think that the upper tax bracket is a combined income of over $200,000 a year is a joke, and to label those people as rich is a joke, while the mega-rich chomp us up in bits and spit us back out only to make another bubble. But, Mike, I'll jump off.
Hey, listen, you know, you Lex, you can be a billionaire tomorrow. Just move to Zimbabwe.
Sure.
Because everybody there is a billionaire. You know, if
well,
you look
and
at the
inflation
paper.
As inflation continues, I guess I will have billions, but a loaf of bread will be $80,000. So.
Yeah, well, I was joking with my wife the other day. We were over at Sam's doing our shopping, and looking at even at Sam's, the price of everything is just going right through the roof. And I said, you know, life may be cheap, but toilet paper is expensive. And she said, we should put that one on a T-shirt. All right, got to let you go. Got to take a break here. So long to our shortwave audience. We'll be continuing with Hour 2 right after this station break. Stay tuned.
It's true. Go